Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Following the introduction, our speaker will be Reverend Matt Herbster, Program Director at the Wilds Christian Camp in Brevard, North Carolina. The title of his message is, God is Good. The text is from Psalm 34, verses 8 through 10.
Our chapel speaker today is a staff member at the Wilds. He's served as program director there since 2004 and been on staff for about 12 years, and that's the Reverend Matt Herbster. He's a 1995 graduate from BJU, earned a bachelor's degree in Bible, and then went on to Heart of America Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, and there he finished a master's degree in pastoral studies in 1997. His wife, Julie, is also a BJU graduate, and they have five children, ranging in age from 10 years old down to two, Sarah, Nathan, Abby, Annie, and Jonathan. So I hope you'll listen with eager anticipation as to what the Lord has for each one of us in chapel today, as his servant, Matt Herbster, comes now to minister the word of God to us.
Let's look at the word of God this morning, Psalm chapter 34. We're going to read just a couple of verses, Psalm 34, verses 8 through 10. Familiar passage of Scripture, I think, to a lot of you, and I hope it will be an encouragement to you this morning as we reflect on this passage. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." We use this word good a lot in our vocabulary when we're describing different things. When we see somebody in a ball game, we'll tell them, "Wow, that was a good shot." When we go and have food, we say, "Man, that was good food." When we see a young person doing something and behaving right, we say, "Wow, there's a good kid." We tell people, "Good luck," or "Have you had a good day?" When I kiss my kids at night, I tell them, "Good night." We tell people, "Wow, I got a good deal." We ask, "Hey, are you getting good grades?" Or even we'll express exasperation by saying, "Good grief." My brother and I have a little thing that we do with each other. When we travel out to Kansas City, which is where I grew up, on the way out to Kansas City, we have to pass through a city in Tennessee. And it's kind of tradition to call each other when we get to the city. A lot of teenagers, even a lot of college students, especially a few years ago, would use the term, "Well, it's all good." You know, you're just talking about something, maybe talking, "Oh, there was a bad thing happening." So, "Oh, but it's all good." So when I go through this city, All Good, Tennessee, I call my brother and say, "Mark, it's all good." And that's all I tell him. I hang up. Or if he's going through, he'll call and say, "Hey, Matt, it's all good." And we know exactly where we are on the road. We like using this expression that things are good. But what does it really mean when we talk about something, or in what we're going to talk about this morning, someone being good? What does it mean when we say God is good? A lot of young children grow up saying the little prayer, "God is good, God is great, we will thank Him." Some people look at God as a cosmic bully who's up there just waiting to bring wrath down. While others have an opposite pendulum swing view of God, that views God as some celestial Santa Claus just doling out gifts and who can never bring wrath on anybody. Webster defines good as something that's pleasant or agreeable, an excellent quality or something that is valuable. But when we think of God's goodness, we're talking about His moral integrity. We're speaking of His rightness or His kindness or His compassion. Our God has certain attributes. And by that, when we're talking about God's attributes, we talk about things that cannot change. We talk about permanent qualities that can't be gained and lost. He's not one way one day and another way the next. These are things that are true of Him through and through. They are part of His very nature. His goodness involves His holiness, His purity, His righteousness, and His justice. And we can stand and boldly declare, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, we can declare, because of God's unchanging nature, that He is good. God is good. Psalm 34, verse 8, tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. This word "taste" means to try or experience. This idea of seeing that the Lord is good means to evaluate or discern or to test. In other words, put God to the test, and every time you'll see He is good. I don't know if you've ever been involved in a taste test. You know, you walk through a store and they want you to taste something and sample something and see how it is. I was at Dollywood in Pigeon Forge recently. A couple of us on the staff went down there. They were having this day called their Bluegrass and Barbecue Day. Those are two things I enjoy. Now, I have to let you know, I'm a little bit partial to Midwestern barbecue. Southern barbecue is okay, but it's not quite the same as what you get in the Midwest. But we went and they had some good bluegrass music, some good barbecue. Well, they had this little side cart, so to speak, as you're walking through the park, the amusement park there, that where you would go and test different barbecue sauces and different hot sauces. And we walked up, a couple of the guys on the staff there and I, we walked up and the guy who was working this cart and kind of on staff there, he said, "I dare you to taste this one." And obviously they have these hot sauces there. And you know, when they sell the hot sauce in bottles this size, you know that's a danger sign. Matter of fact, he showed us one bottle of hot sauce and he said, "You know what they do with this? They take a toothpick, stick the end of the toothpick barely into the hot sauce, dip that in a 50-gallon pot of chili, and that's all it takes." I was like, "Okay, keep me away from that stuff." But he said, "I want you to try this one." And of course, you know, I've got the guy standing there, like, "Oh yeah, I'll try it. You know, not a problem." And he takes a tortilla chip, he dips it barely into the sauce, just a little corner of the chip, and he says, "Here, try this." And I'm thinking, I'm an idiot. Why am I doing this? I stuck it into my mouth, and I started chewing the chip, and I'm thinking, it's not too bad. But you know, it's like the delayed reaction. And pretty soon, it started flaming in my mouth. You know, you've seen the cartoons with smoke come out of the ears and out of the nose. That's what I felt like was happening. My eyes were watering. My nose was running. My mouth was on fire. And then he said, "Oh, and by the way, water doesn't help this." Okay, now, if you could tell me that before I tasted it, it would have been really nice. And he put this sticker on, you know, about something about you were brave to taste this sauce. And so we're walking around the amusement park later on. You know, I'm still, you know, trying to get this thing to cool off in my mouth. And finally, I asked one of the guys, I said, "Hey, what's this sticker say anyway?" And they said, "Well, it says, I got sauced at Dollywood." And I thought, you know what? I better take this thing off. You know, that's not necessarily a good thing. And they were taking pictures, you know, and we got to tell everybody this. But I was there to taste something, to see, to experience, to evaluate something. And what we're told here is that we are to taste, to experience, to evaluate God's goodness. And the obvious response to this is that every time you will find out that God is good. He doesn't waver. He doesn't change. His goodness is the same. I want us to look very quickly in our time remaining about God's goodness. First of all, I want you to see God's goodness declared. God's goodness declared. His goodness is declared first through creation. As you're familiar with the passage in Genesis 1, where each day God saw that it was good. And in the end, in chapter 1, verse 31, He saw that it was all very good. Creation declares His goodness. I mean, come on, how can you not go to the mountains of North Carolina and see the goodness of God declared in creation? How can you not walk out and see the Rocky Mountains in Colorado and say, "Wow, look at God's greatness and His goodness that is declared through creation"? His goodness is also declared in His Word by His people. His people declare His goodness in His Word. In Exodus chapter 34, really at the giving of the Ten Commandments, it says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. I want us this morning just to take a little bit of a walk through the Psalms. I don't know about you, but when I am discouraged or I'm facing a trial, when there's difficulties going on, I run to the book of the Psalms. And I want us to do that a little bit this morning. Would you turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 52? Psalm 52, just a few chapters. Psalm 52, and you might want to put a little trail here through the Psalms. I encourage you to do this, by the way, that you have a path that you walk through the Psalms when trials and difficulties come to remind you of God's goodness. Psalm chapter 52, verse 1. Psalm 52, verse 1. It says, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth" how long? Continually. Continually. Psalm 86, verse 5. And as you can imagine, we're not hitting all of them. We're hitting the highlights here. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Go to Psalm 100. If you know this chapter, you're already probably in your mind running through the verse that talks about God's goodness. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 103, verse 5. He satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 135. Psalm 135, verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. And then Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. And we could go on and on through the book of Psalms and through the rest of Scriptures and seeing God's goodness declared for us. That God is good. But God not only declares His goodness to us through creation and in Scripture, He also displays His goodness. And I believe one of the obvious ways that God displays His goodness is through His love. I believe it's the basic attribute of God. And one of the easiest ways to see God's goodness, it's His very nature for Him to be love. And I believe in God's love, it encompasses His mercy and His grace. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and in verse 16, it tells us specifically that God is love. Jeremiah 31, 3, it tells us that He has loved us with an everlasting love. You know Romans 8, the end of the chapter there, where He tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. One of the most well-known verses, not just in Christian circles, but in all circles, is John 3, 16. For God so loved the world. You know, God doesn't just talk of His love. He displayed His love. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or displayed His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And is there any greater display of God's goodness than the fact that He sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross for us? Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. It includes His mercy. It includes His grace. God's goodness is clear because of the love that has been displayed for every one of us. How do you know if you're not believing God's goodness? Maybe you're here this morning and something has happened in your life, or maybe there's been a difficulty, or maybe circumstances have been a little bit tough. How do you know when you have stopped believing that God is good? How do you know that you have set that part of God's character aside? I want to give you just a few thoughts here on how you can know if you have forgotten or set aside God's goodness. Number one, I believe it's clear that we have forgotten or set aside God's goodness when we complain. When we look at the things that are going on around us and we say, what is going on? God, what are you doing? We've forgotten about God's goodness. We've forgotten about God's goodness when we get discouraged. Have you ever thought about this? If we really truly believe that God is good, what is it that should discourage us? Oh, sure, there's going to be temporary thoughts of remorse or temporary thoughts of sadness. But to allow something to truly discourage us takes a disbelief in God's goodness. God, why did this happen? I don't know, but you know what? I can bank on the fact that You are good. I don't understand it, but I'm thankful that You are good. Oftentimes we become bitter. Is there any more obvious sign of somebody not believing God's good when they get bitter? A tragedy in a family? A financial crisis? Heard about that at all recently? Physical difficulties? Troubles in school? Having a hard time paying your school bill? Maybe a problem with a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Or a situation that's come up with a friend that you don't understand and you don't get? Things going on back home that don't make sense? Maybe you have parents who are in full-time Christian work and you've had the tendency to get bitter about how people have treated them? Can I tell you something? If you are bitter and struggling with bitterness, you have stopped believing that God is good. Oh, we don't know why it's happening. We may not ever be able to figure out all the reasons these things are going on in our life, but we can always go back to the fact that God's goodness does not change. God is still good, young person. God is still faithful. He has not stopped being good in your circumstance. God's goodness, when we stop believing God's goodness, it is reflected in how we live and how we respond. What should be our response to God's goodness? How should we respond in knowing that we serve a good God? Well, number one, I think the obvious response ought to be a spirit of thankfulness and praise for God's goodness. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34 says, "Oh, give thanks, for His mercy endureth forever." Psalm 118, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks, for He is good." Psalm 135, verse 3, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good." Psalm 100, verses 3 through 5, we just looked at, says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." Why? "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." And Psalm 107, verse 8 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness." I love Psalm 57, where it says this. It says, "My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise to God." Now, why do you think the heart of the psalmist had to be fixed there? Probably because there were things that were trying to move him off of that fixture in his mind. There were circumstances that were going on, but his goal and his desire and his testimony was that, "I'm going to give praise to God." How could he do that? Because he believed God was good. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I have no idea what you're facing. But would you claim the promise of God's goodness and decide in your heart that no matter what the circumstance, you're going to believe in God's goodness and you're going to praise Him and thank Him for His goodness? Our response ought to be to thank God for His goodness. But I believe there's a second response. When we believe in God's goodness, that response would be not just to thank God for His goodness, but to trust God because He is good. To trust Him. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, many of you are familiar with as the conclusion to the story of the life of Joseph. Matter of fact, if you were at the Wilds this summer, you studied this. We talked about the life of Joseph a lot. And really the theme of the life of Joseph is that God is good and God's in control. And here at the end of everything that has happened to Joseph, all the mistreatments, all the difficulties that he had faced, all the crazy things that had happened in a dysfunctional family, Jacob passes off the scene and Joseph's brothers come and they say to Joseph, "We know that Dad's gone now and we know that you're going to kill us." And they were fearful for what was going to happen. And somehow Joseph was able to look at his brothers who had mistreated him, probably more grossly than a lot of people have ever been mistreated. He was able to look at them and say, "You meant it unto me for evil, but God meant it for good." Wow. Have you ever stopped to think about the magnitude of that statement? Have you ever stopped to look at the circumstances in your life and ask the question, "Can I say, you know what, I have no idea why this is going on, but I know God is meaning it for good in my life"? Do you believe Psalm 84:11, that the Lord God is a sun and a shield? The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. Do we believe that? Job's testimony in Job 13 was, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him." You say, "Job, how in the world can you talk like that? How can someone, when they're going through serious cancer problems, or when they're facing serious financial issues, or when they're dealing with other problems in their life, how can they say, 'God, I don't understand it, but I trust You'? Because they believe God is good. And young person, our response to God's goodness ought to be say, "Dear Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why my family is dealing with this. I don't know why these people are having to face this, but I can bank on the fact that You are good. And I'm going to trust You that You know what's going on." Nahum chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble." Do you enjoy going through the Psalms and seeing all the descriptions of who our God is, that He's our refuge? He's our high tower. He's our fortress, our rock, our deliverer, our shield, our hiding place, our shadow. God is good. That never changes. And you can believe that. We trust God in the trials, and we also trust God for our future. Is there any more obvious place to talk about trusting God for your future than on a college campus? What's happening with my future? What's going to happen when I'm done? Will I ever get a date? I mean, important things like that, you know. God, can I trust you for the future? I love Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We can trust God for our future. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. How can we trust God for the future? Because God's good. God wants what's best for you. I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know what difficulties and thoughts about the future that have clouded your mind. Maybe you're a senior and you don't have any direction. You think, man, what am I going to do? What's going on? And even you have people talk to you, family members who are like, what's your problem? Don't you know what's going on? They start to accuse you that you don't have a plan, and you start to get fearful and you worry. Trust God. God is good. He has a plan for your life. Trust God in the difficulties. He doesn't fail. In the recent weeks, as I've had opportunity to share this message at different places, it's been very interesting to me to see how much this truth resonates with people. Because if the truth be known, in this room, there are a lot of people who are doubting God's goodness. And we wouldn't say it publicly. We wouldn't raise our hand and say, oh yeah, I'm doubting God's goodness. But for all of us, we battle this in our minds. Something happens to somebody we love, we start questioning God. A situation takes place in a relationship, we start questioning God. Somebody gets mistreated in a way they don't think they should have been treated, we start questioning God. And I don't know exactly what you're facing today or what resonates with you, but this morning I can declare this to you. You serve a good God. I love Ron Hamilton's song, "Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistakes." How in the world can you write a song like that when you lose an eye? Because Ron Hamilton believed that God was good. How can somebody going through great tragedy proclaim God's goodness? Because they've learned to trust that God is good. Can I encourage you today as you leave this place, and as in the next few days, the next few weeks, months, years, that you would continue to feast on this book and claim the promise of God's goodness in your life.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Matt Herbster, Program Director at the Wilds Christian Camp in Brevard, North Carolina. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.